Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Amen. Well, I was just barely in Texas. I was in Texarkana. That doesn't really count as Texas, right? So good to be here. I used to pastor in Searcy, Arkansas for 10 years. Our two boys, we have three kids. Two of our, one's a daughter and the boss of the whole family. And then she's the oldest. And then we have two sons that were born in Searcy. And so we have lots of ties here. I work in the national office of the Assemblies of God in Springfield with Gene Crawford, who is from BB. And I work right down the hall from Kelly Preston, who was a kids pastor here. Yeah. And so we talk about this church several times. I've been in this church. I'm so old. I actually spoke in the other church when we were there. So that's how old I am. It's always good to be here. Good to be back in this part of the world and just to know what God is doing and how God is moving. If you're watching online, thank you for watching us. I sent my mom this link, so maybe she's watching right now from North Carolina, and I hope she is, and maybe she'll learn something. Good to have you, Mom, if you're watching us today online. And so I want to invite you to turn to Luke chapter 4. We're going to look at a lot of scripture today, and I'm so glad you're here. And if you're here and you're searching or you're watching online and you're searching for life's answers, my prayer is that you'll find those answers in today's word. Our hope as the church today is that you will encounter Jesus, whether it's here or wherever you're watching us from, in a significant and personal way. My name is Jimmy, as I told you, and I'm from all over, really. My dad was in the Navy, and so we moved all over. My wife is from Paris, Arkansas, if anyone knows where that is. Her brother actually attended church here for many, 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 many years. He was a principal at Westside here in this town, and so we're really familiar with here, so we welcome you here. You know, when I was raised in a Pentecostal church. How many were raised in a Pentecostal church? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Raise your hand. Yes. I mean a Pentecostal church. You know, a Pentecostal church is we didn't have nurseries. Our nursery was under the front pew on a pallet. I mean, you folks are my tribe. You know, that you know, what I did find out was you could resurrect juicy fruit real good. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you weren't raised in a Pentecostal church. Being raised in a Pentecostal church, you know, sometimes we get the mindset that everything ought to be smooth and everything ought to be fun and everything ought to go well because we're serving God. But there are times in our life when we walk through a wilderness. And in a wilderness, and the power of the wilderness, that's when we have the opportunity to develop, to grow. The joy of passing the test that's before us. It's in the wilderness that we can better understand the strengths and the concerns and the history and even the pains of life, no matter the situation we're facing. August the 27th, 2018, I found myself in a wilderness. 2 years earlier, before that, in 16, I accepted a position in the National Men's Department. Now, we had moved from Searcy, Arkansas to Texarkana, Texas, and we were pastors there for 13 years. Although my two boys were, my daughter was born in Harrison, and my two sons were born in Searcy, basically my kids were raised in Texarkana. That's where my daughter found her husband, and my oldest son found his wife, and they are now kids pastors in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And my youngest son, that's all he has memories of, is Texarkana. They were raised there. I didn't realize August the 27th, 2018, that God had a plan for me, and He placed me in Springfield 2 years earlier to prepare me for the most dramatic wilderness experience I've ever faced. August the 27th, 2018, I had just flown back from West Texas doing a Light for the Lost and men's event. And so I was there, and we're not too far from the credit union. I was walking down to the bank to transfer money for my youngest son into his account because he's still in college and he wants money to spend, and it's just better to put it in his account. And so I was walking there to do that. I went to Springfield, and one of my main jobs is to write men's small group material. We have over 300, or right at 300, discipleship lessons that are totally free. If you go to Men's Ministries on any on the Android and the or the Google, or I mean our iPhone, whatever that Apple, that's what I'm trying to think of. If you go there, you can download that app and you can find all of our resources totally free. I was working on the Gospel of John. We have 34 lessons that we have divide or designed in the Gospel of John, and I had written on that. So I go to the bank and I come back and I make my way to the fourth floor to talk to the editor. The editor is Gene Crawford, who grew up in BB. I was his counselor back when we can call us that in camp, and so he's right here. So I went in and I went to talk to Gene. And I'm talking to Gene, and Gene and I are conversing, and Gene said, well, you know, we really need to do, that's how editors do. You know, like, well, we need to change this. And I'm like, oh, come on, Gene. You know, we can't do that, or I want this, or I want this. And Gene thought I was just kind of playing around with him. Like, oh, you're just messing with me. Come on, Gene, you can't do that. The next thing I realized after our conversation had begun, Gene was over me saying, Brother White, Brother White, Brother White, Brother White, Brother White. I was headed to the ER in an ambulance. I've never ridden in an ambulance before. It's kind of cool riding backwards, you know, in an ambulance. I didn't really know what was going on. I'm texting Renata, and she's at school teaching. I'm going, hey, you know, I'm passing CVs. I'm passing Walgreens. I'm going by Taco Bell, and, you know, I don't really know what's wrong with me. I don't know, and here I am, and I don't really have a clue what's going on with me. You know, I was trying to tell the people at the national office and the people that were giving me the ride, the EMT folks. I said, you know, I know I probably should go to the hospital, and I wasn't doing this because I was trying to be this macho man. I was doing it because I'm cheap, and I didn't want to pay the bill that they were going to charge me to ride in that ambulance. So I could probably just drive myself. I said, no, you need to ride with us. Now, the wilderness is an interesting place. The wilderness, you know, you were at a certain place where things were going well, and now you're not in that place anymore. Now you're headed to a new place. Some of you right now are in an unfamiliar place called the wilderness. The good news is that God has given us examples of people in the wilderness so that you and I can understand how to navigate through the experiences that we're going through. When you read through the Bible, it doesn't take you long. You don't get very far along, and you find persons who spent time in the wilderness, people like Abraham and David and Elijah and Jesus. You're in a wilderness. You're in the wilderness, and you go from what was normal, and now all of a sudden you have a new normal in your life. Isn't this year about like that, you know? And just when you think you've arrived and there's something else that's coming our way. Oftentimes, it's in the wilderness, and our wilderness experience comes after a moment of great victory. Remember when Jesus goes to the River Jordan? He gets an accommodation from his heavenly Father, and he gets launched into this brand new dimension of ministry, and the Spirit of God says, I'm going to lead you into the wilderness right now, which is where we come in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. And it says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you have a Bible, you highlight or underline in your Bible, please underline, filled with the Holy Spirit. This is important for you to realize. Spirit-filled people go through wilderness times. And they returned from the Jordan, and he was led by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. See, we think that wherever the Holy Spirit leads us, then it ought to be a place of happiness and joy and prosperity and blessing and fullness, and everything ought to be just wonderful and hunky-dory and great and wonder and everything is going well. The truth is that there are times where the Holy Spirit leads us into the wilderness that we are in. Now, I want to tell you something. If you want to write this down beside you, God is more concerned with fulfilling his purpose and destiny in your life than he is with your comfort. God is more concerned with fulfilling his purpose and destiny in your life than he is with your comfort. God uses the wilderness, and we're going to look at what just three of the things that God uses the wilderness for today. He uses it for an opportunity to test our faith. He uses the wilderness to train us, and he uses us to prepare us for the place that he is going to take us. So let's look at this whole idea of testing. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." See, really, it's in the wilderness where faith is the bottom line critical issue for us. And that's what James is talking about. He is talking about the testing of our trying of our faith. It has to be, our faith has to be tested. It has been said that a faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. A faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. See, when we go through a test, that's when we discover the reality of our faith. It's when we discover the genuineness of our faith. It's kind of like, you know, when you get a glass of ice and you're wanting to get Diet Dr. Pepper. If I don't know if you're a Diet Dr. Pepper fan or not, you get any kind of drink, but we were at David's Burgers last night and I went to the Diet Dr. Pepper, you know, little clicker thing there, and I put it on and I had ice in that, and the foam just kept coming to the top. It just kept rising to the top. And I'm thinking, you know, those of us that are older, we understand that there's not much drink in there. Because when we let it settle for a while, all that froth and fizzle begins to settle down, and then I have to realize how much longer I have to stay there to get a full cup. That's what happens in the testing of our faith. In the testing of our faith, we leave a worship service like Pastor Megan just led for us, and we leave a worship service like today, and we can have faith, and we can have excitement, and we can have joy inside of us, and we get out there on this street out here, or we get there, and then all of a sudden, we go into a testing of the wilderness. It's in the tests of the wilderness that our faith and is developed and strengthened, and Peter talks about this. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, he says, "In all of this," in all of what? "In all of your trials, in all of your troubles, in all of your challenges, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while." If you have your Bible open or you have your smart device or you're watching us online, I want you to highlight that right now. "Now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials." So in other words, when we go through the wilderness, it's a season. It's a little while. Here's the problem. The problem is, and you may want to write this down, but God's little while isn't like my little while. God and I have a different idea of our little whiles. I have an idea of a little while, and God has an idea of a little while. And Peter tells us that genuine faith is like gold tested by fire. Now, gold is an alloy that sometimes has other elements with it. And the only way you know of the purity of gold is to put it in the fire. And what is truly gold remains. The fire shows the genuineness of the gold. So it's through our tests and our difficulties and our wilderness that we develop genuine faith. August the 27th, 2018, Renata and my faith was tested in the wilderness. Suddenly out of nowhere. I mean, it was just a normal day. It was a Monday. It was fine. We're facing a wilderness. The last sight that Renata had of me before I had surgery was a nurse sitting on top of me giving me chest compressions because I had coded 2 times. Our wilderness, our faith was tested in the wilderness. God takes the wilderness to test us. But secondly, the wilderness is to train us. It's in the wilderness that God does some of his best work. It's in the wilderness that God does spiritual transformation in our life. It's in the wilderness that our deepest work, that God does his deepest work in us, the most profound work in us is in the wilderness. How many remember when the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, they had been slaves for 400 years? Egypt's greatest commodity was the Nile River. It still is. Everything, if you travel to Egypt, everything around the Nile blossoms. Everything around the Nile is beautiful. Everything around the Nile has thick vegetation. And God says to the children of Israel, I'm going to take you to another place, another land, and this land is also abundant. It's a land that flows with milk and with honey. But in between those two abundant lands, they have to go through a barren land, an uninhabited land, which is the wilderness. Now, the wilderness is not just a desert place. The wilderness in Hebrew means an uninhabited space or an uninhabited land. And that's where God's taking them through. He is taking them through this between from the Nile River to this place of abundance to the land that's flowing with milk and honey is an uninhabited place, a barren land, a wilderness that they're going through. God is taking them through the wilderness for a purpose, and that purpose is that they would get Egypt out of them. See, the Israelites have been saturated in the culture of the Egyptians. They thought like Egyptians, they talk like Egyptians, they live like slaves. And God wanted to show them through the wilderness. He wanted to show them how to live. And so in order to show them how to live, it was in the wilderness that he gave them the Ten Commandments. It was in the wilderness that he gave them the law. This is how I want you to live in connection with me, in connection with other people. This is how I want you to live. It was in the wilderness, that barren land in between the Nile of Egypt and the land flowing with milk and honey, that God instructed them on how to build the tabernacle, how to connect with God, he trained and he taught them. And instead of learning from that, the children of Israel, if you read that whole passage of about the history of Israel, they rebelled against God and they rebelled against God's leader, Moses. And so they ended up staying in the wilderness for 40 years, which God did not intend for them. Now listen, this might be the most important thing I tell you all morning. This might be the thing, and I believe it's there for you to write down in your notes. This may be the most important thing that if you can get this, I want you to get this. How long you are in the wilderness is not determined by God. It is determined by you. Training has to be completed before you come out of the wilderness. Now, let me just put a parenthesis here, because sometimes we think we're in the wilderness because we've been bad. Because we've done bad things, but that's not necessarily true. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 2 that he cuts off every branch that in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will even be more fruitful. Now, listen, there are times that you are not in the wilderness because you did something wrong. You are in the wilderness sometimes because God says, I need to prune you. And it's during the pruning time when God seems like this strict disciplinarian. It's in the pruning time. We don't like that. Now, if you have a Bible, smartphone, I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 12, because I want you to see this for real quick. It's coming up on the screen, but I want you to see it. I want you to make note of it. I want you to write beside in your notes, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. And I want you to look at this verse 11. It says, no discipline seems pleasant for a time. Duh. Really? I agree with that. My mom had a theory when she spanked me was she talked while she spanked. You know what I'm saying? And she says, you don't understand why I am beat. I mean, it was. And then she would say to me, this hurts me worse than it hurts you. I'm like, call me a taxi right now. I mean, really? Yeah, this doesn't hurt you. It's hurting me. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Now, you look at that first word, I want you to highlight or circle the word discipline, because I want to show you something here. What do you think of when you think of discipline? Many of us think of punishment or some kind of hard task that we have to do. But that's not the meaning of the Greek word used there. Now, you may want to write this beside that verse. The Greek word for discipline is paideia, P-I-D-I-A. And that's where we get the word comes from. It's the root word for pediatric. So when you hear the word pediatric, you don't think of punishment, do you? When you hear discipline, you think of punishment, right? But when you hear pediatric, you don't think of that. What you think of when you go to the pediatrician or the pediatric center, you think of nurture and development. And that's exactly what God is doing for you and for me. He is developing us. He is nurturing us. So you have to understand all of that. It's in these wilderness times are the times when God begins to do the deepest work in my life and in your life. And maybe you're in the wilderness and you'd rather not be there. I don't like being in the wilderness either. In fact, you'd rather be anywhere but the wilderness. But look, I want you to write this down. The wilderness is fertile ground for growth and transformation. Now look at, there's another verse, another word I want you to highlight in verse number 11. And it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained. Everybody say trained. Trained by it. Now I apologize for using so many Greek words, but this is so significant. That Greek word trained, if you want to write this down, it's the Greek word gymnos, G-Y-M-N-O-S. It's where we get the word gymnasium. And so you have to be trained in that. That's where we get, you know, whatever sport, whatever activity. The reason I took 5 years of piano lessons, and the reason I don't know, the only thing I know is where middle C is, and the only reason I know that is because I quit doing the discipline in order to learn that. I wasn't doing the training to do that. My youngest son was on the golf team in Evangel University, and he has to train himself seven days a week. He's out there. He's got to either be putting or something. You got to train. November 1976 was an incredible, incredible month and an incredible year. I don't know if you remember what happened November 1976 or not. But you're going to be so thankful you came to church this morning to know what happened November 1976. November of 1976, I was a freshman in high school, and in November 1976, it's had an impact in my life you could tell. That's when Rocky I came out. I mean, no, seriously, aren't you glad you came? I mean, you realize this stuff, right? Where else are you going to get this kind of information? I was so mesmerized. I'm a freshman in high school, and I was so mesmerized by this out-of-shape, over-the-hill has-been who is now contending for the heavyweight championship of the world. I mean, his training consisted of drinking raw eggs for breakfast and running and sparring and weight training. And there comes this place, this 2-minute and 45-second inspirational part where after training, I mean, he'd been training all this time, and for 2 minutes and 45 seconds of this movie, I mean, it's incredible. He is running through the streets of Philadelphia, and he's picking up steam, and he's going, and he's punching that speed bag. He's doing one-arm push-ups, and he goes into that meat locker, and he's punching sides of beef, and you see him running up the flight of steps to the Museum of Art in Philadelphia, and the music is going, you know, it's getting intensified, getting strong now, gonna fly now. I mean, it's exciting, that 2 minutes and 40, I mean, it was incredible to watch that. And that next morning, I decided, as a freshman in high school, I decided if that out-of-shape boxer can train that way, I could too. So I decided I'm going to get up early, and I got up at the crack of 9. And I grabbed a couple of raw eggs, just like Rocky. Yes, I did. I cracked them with one hand, just like Rocky cracked them. I put them in a glass, just like Rocky did. And I did. I'm telling you, I drank that just like Rocky did. I'm ready to go now. I mean, Rocky went from this flabby, over-the-hill boxer to this contender in less than 2 hours. And I'm on the football team, and I'm thinking, I can do the same thing. I'm inspired. I'm thinking, I'm doing a couple hundred push-ups, and I did it. Now, it took me all day because I only did about 10 at a time. I mean, I'm pumping iron. I'm ready to go until the next morning, and then I could barely move. I could barely get out of bed. Now my song has changed. It's, I'm not feeling strong now. I'm not going to fly now. I want to stay in bed all day now. Because it didn't feel like the workout built me up. It felt like it tore me down. And that's how some of us feel in God's gym. What I know now that I didn't know in November 1976 is that when I work out, it tears my muscles down. And when I rest, it builds them up. All I knew in November 1976 was my muscles hurt. But if I were to come back and work consistently, it develops, it grows, it gets stronger. See, it's in the wilderness that we feel broken and we feel like, God, there's no way. I don't know if I'm going to make it. August the 27th, 2018, Renata and I, it's the time we entered into training phase that we had not been. It was that time that we could pull from our faith gym because we've been working out prior to that. First, God uses the wilderness to test us. Second, he uses it to train us. And lastly, he uses the wilderness to prepare us. God is always working in our life. He's always training us. He's always developing us. But he has a purpose in mind when he's doing this. I love Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I don't care how insignificant you feel your life is right now. God wants to do something significant in you and through you. And in order for that to be accomplished, there are times that God has to take us through the wilderness. David was a young prophet, anointed to be king of Israel by a prophet named Samuel. I mean, everything's going well for David. If you remember, David goes, his dad says, David, I need you to take some cheese whiz and crackers up to your brothers fighting. You know, they're fighting up there on the front lines. He goes up to the Elah Valley. He takes his brothers some cheese whiz and crackers, and he says, you know, Dad, when we sent this to you, and here comes Goliath, and you know the story. And David ends up killing Goliath in the Elah Valley. David's on Sports Illustrated. He's on Time Magazine. He's on the cover of everything. David, the man that took out Goliath. David's anointed king. And many of the times when we get anointed something and we have to fight and we have this victory and we're thinking, God, okay, I'm going to be promoted now. I'm going to do this. But Saul just wasn't going to give this up that easy. Saul was going to kill David. David had to flee for his very life, and he goes into the wilderness. And David finds himself, if you remember, he finds himself in the cave of Adullam. Now, you say, Jimmy, why is all that important? Because here's the next, would you put up that last slide? This is the Elah Valley in Israel. One of the things I do is I lead trips to Israel. I've been in this valley. It's in this valley in Israel that David beat Goliath. But if you look just past there, just in that area, you also would discover the cave of Adullam. In the same valley that David had his greatest victory, David ran from Saul, who wanted to kill him. He goes into the wilderness. Remember, I told you the wilderness just means an uninhabited place. And he finds himself in the cave of Adullam across the Elah Valley. Surely David had to remember every day that he got up when he was in the cave of Adullam, he could see the Elah Valley. He could see the spot where he beat up Goliath, where he killed Goliath, where he was the victor. And I really believe that David he learned his wilderness lesson so that when he finally comes out of the cave of Adullam, he steps into the place of being a king because of the lesson he learned. Looking at the place of his greatest victory, but now he's hiding. And perhaps you're going through something right now of a wilderness. You go to a wall, maybe it's a wall in your house, and you see the pictures of your great accomplishments, and you look, you're like, God, I used to have that. God, I used to be that. Or you open a journal only to read the prophetic words that God gave you of a great future, and that was 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, and you're thinking, God, well, is there ever going to be a time when I come out of my wilderness? August the 27th, 2018. I left the fourth floor of the national office via ambulance. I get into the emergency room, and I'm telling the nurses, I really don't have a clue what's going on. I don't know. Only to wake up in the nursing in the ER room with nurses over me, saying to me, "Mr. White, you're okay. You're okay." I felt this something on this side of me, and it was just throbbing. It was just moving. And the cardiologist came into my room. I didn't know what was going on. And he said, "We got some good news for you. The good news is we know what's wrong with you, and you need a pacemaker. And the better news is you don't have to wear one of those little things. You get bumped to the front of the line, because we know exactly where you are." August the 27th, 2018. Now, some of you have had worse things than that. Some of you haven't anything like that. But I can tell you, for me, that was one of my most painful wildernesses. It's taken me over 2 years. And I'm really sure where I am. But here's what I know. However God chooses to use you, you have to go through a wilderness. And you just don't get to go through one wilderness. You'll go through many. All of our little young people here, you get to go through a whole lot. Because that's where God trains you. That's where God prepares you. That's where He makes us into the men and women that God wants us to be. And when you come out of the wilderness, your character is developed, your faith is genuine, and there's a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life because of the wilderness. But it only happens through there. Go back to that last slide, please. The place of David's greatest victory became the place where David hid. It was his wilderness. And I really just sense the Holy Spirit saying, as I think, who was it? Is it Tom? Did I get that right? Is it Thomas? You're coming to play. Would you play that? Can you play that last song that we sang? What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. I really sense that some of you are in a wilderness now. I don't know what it is. But God could take you from where you are and through that wilderness. And so maybe you need to, today, maybe we need to say, God, what is it you're trying to test in me? God, what is it you're trying to train me to do? What is it you're preparing for me? Because when I come out of the cave of Adullam, past the place of my greatest victory, I'm going to a throne. God, I don't know what it is that you're trying to say to me today. But God, I need you to help me understand what the test is, what the training is, what the preparation is for. So that when I go through this valley and come out, God could do something and will do something powerful in my life. Come on, will you stand up all across this place right now? Will you close your eyes and just lift your hands? Hallelujah. Come on, somebody's in a wilderness right now. And you know, because of COVID and all this, our altar is right where you're standing right now. So I don't know what you're going through today, but you know the Holy Spirit is here to help you. See, the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Sometimes you're not there because you wanted to go there, because you're there because the Spirit led you there. We're going to sing this song, and I want you to make a place of altar right where you are. And if you're here and you're going through that wilderness, you can come and tell me or tell Pastor Greg. You know that sermon, he talked about wilderness, and I'm going through it, but I see now, or however you want to couch it or phrase it. But I believe God wants to take what you're going through today and prepare you for a greater ministry. Come on, I want you to just lift your hands, and I want you to make an altar right where you are, and I want Thomas just to sing. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, you and Jesus just have a time together right now. Hallelujah. Come on, you and Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Everything in you are Christ.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Pastor Megan, when she was playing this, she said, somebody's going through whatever you're going through, and you just need to call the name of Jesus. I'm not saying calling on the name of Jesus brings you out of the wilderness, but it helps you go through it. Would you just begin to call on that name right now? Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, will you just say the name of Jesus? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, just say the name Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, say the name Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand again. What a powerful name is. The Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to touch everybody in this room right now. You know exactly where we are. You know we're either headed into a wilderness, we're in a wilderness, or we're coming out of one. That's the story of our life. And Lord, maybe it's to prune us. Maybe it's to, I don't know. God, whatever it is this afternoon, I'm praying and believing that you will speak to our hearts so that we will know, God, that when we come out of our wilderness, the purpose that you have for our life. God, I'm asking you to move right now. Give us the strength. Give us the courage to persevere through the wilderness. In your name we pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and give you peace. May you be blessed today. In Jesus' name.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.